enterprising in my surroundings. I'm finding the quietest of states these days. Just representation of storm brewing. Amazed that the focus remains the focal point of my change.
Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. And I'm so excited for today's show. This is a new reoccurring type episode that we're going to be doing here on the Rambling Runner Podcast. It is called Fail Forward Friday. The fail is in quotes. Basically, what we're saying is there are times in a lot of people's lives, specifically the people who are going to be in these episodes, where they have felt like a failure or that they have failed at certain points in their life, but little did they know that actually that moment or the setback that had befallen them was actually more of a catalyst to help them reach a brand new level, reach higher than they'd ever had before. And this is just something I am so excited about. We did a call to action for this 7 to 10 days ago, and the response was absolutely fantastic. We're going to be doing this for a long time. So it's going to be every other Friday for, I don't know, we'll see how long this goes. I'm really excited about it. We're going to have like 12 weeks of episodes after, I think, in like 3 or 4 days, because I've been recording these short segments all day for like the last 3 days. This has been insane. It's been such a great response. And I love to hear from you. If you listen to this and you think you have something that would be a great fit for this segment, please email me at ramblingrunnerpodcast@gmail.com, and we will make it work. I am so excited for this. In today's episode, we have Allie Wilson and Sabrina Little. Allie Wilson is one of the best middle distance runners in the country, and Sabrina Little, who has been on this podcast before, is one of the best trail and ultra runners in the country. And like everyone who's going to appear in these segments, their stories are absolutely fantastic and so illustrative for all of us, not illustrative, more instructive for all of us, and how we can learn from other people and how we can basically digest things in our life that didn't go our way and really make the most of those situations and see if not only we can get back to where we were, but maybe even get to a whole new level. And that's what Fail Forward Friday is all about. I need to reiterate that point. The fail is in quotations. These people aren't failures, nor did they fail. It was the idea that in the moment they felt like they were failing, but little did they know they were about to reach a whole new level. So we're going to get into it with Allie and Sabrina. All right, Allie Wilson, thank you so much for joining us on Fail Forward Friday. And as always, like I say in the intro, fail is in quotes. This is that feeling of in the moment, it might feel like a failure, but it's a catalyst to something great in the future. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I have lots of failure stories. Failures and then overcoming failures, I think, at least.
I love it. And you've had an unbelievable season. We're not going to dive too much into that. You've been on other shows talking about it, and for good reason, because you've done amazing things the spring through the summer, and I can't wait to talk to you. I kind of want to dive into that, but no, we're going to stay focused. So Allie, tell me about the setback in your life that came to you when we first started talking about this topic.
Okay, yeah. So as you mentioned, it is a little more of a setback rather than a failure because it was an injury. I've told this story many times, but I feel like it's so important to like who I am now and who I am as an athlete. So it's like, you know, it really gives you a better like background of, you know, where I kind of came from. But basically my junior year of college, up until my junior year of college, I really hadn't done much with my collegiate running career. I thought that I was running super well. And for myself at the time, I was running pretty well. Like, but I wasn't really improving very much. I was kind of just staying pretty consistent from where I was in high school, right around like the 210, like 800. I had broken 5 for the first time my sophomore year of college. So that was a big deal at the time. But obviously now looking back, you know, there's a lot more in there. So my junior year, I had a really great cross-country season for me. So like, I'm not saying I was, you know, the best cross-country runner ever, because I'm far from that. Me and the distance events don't always get along very well. But I had done like a pretty good job that year, that season. And then towards the end of that season, I was having this foot pain, and I, you know, I was kind of like just trying to manage it. And I'd tell my coach, but I was really wishy-washy about it. Like, I'd tell him it hurt, but I really didn't tell him, like, it really hurt. Like, I'd kind of make jokes about it. And, you know, I'd be putting it in, like, Epsom salt baths. And I'd make jokes, like, I think my foot's broken, ha, ha, ha. And turns out I had run my foot to the ground literally until it broke. I had a stress fracture in my fifth metatarsal. So it was like a huge bummer because I was definitely in the best shape of my life after that cross country season. And I was just, we were so excited for the track season. I think we figured out it was broken right when I got back from Christmas break. So like indoors is about to start. And basically we found out I had to take 4 to 6 weeks off. And it was like, you know, I thought it was gonna be the worst thing ever. Long story short, it just was like an injury that was never going to heal on its own. We could have gotten surgery right away, but the doctor didn't think it was severe enough to jump straight to surgery. But it ended up taking 6 months for it to almost heal. And so I had missed all my indoor, all my outdoor seasons. I used to make jokes. I had become a mermaid. I was spending all of my time in the pool. And I was able to run one race at the end of that year. I was not in good shape at all. My coach was like, let's just put you on the track. Like, he knew I was like dying to run a race. So he was like, it doesn't matter what you do, just run. I think I ran 4:56 in the 1500. So I was like hurting, but I was so happy just to be out there again. And then a week later, I jumped into a pool, cracked my bone all the way through, and ended up having to get the surgery.
So wait, you broke it through in the pool?
Yeah. So I jumped in and the bottom, like the floor of the pool was like a slant, and I didn't realize that. And I landed directly on the bone that I had been trying to heal for 6 months. And so it was so fragile. Like, the doctor basically said I was cleared to run, but it was like never going to fully heal, basically. And it was just like a terrible, terrible circumstance that like I jumped into this pool and it just like re-cracked all the way through. But then the good thing that came out of that was right away they were like, yep, now you need the surgery. So I got the surgery done that summer and basically went into my senior year, and that ended up being my best year of my life. I dropped 6 seconds in the 800 because I had spent a year prior just like sitting on the sidelines, so injured, so out of shape, like just sitting there thinking about like how much more I wanted to get out of myself. So kind of coming back to your theme here with this Failure Friday, it's like, you know, it's not like I just came back from my injury and started running the times that I had been running prior. I came back full throttle and I just like, you know, came in like as like basically a new person with all these like what the wildest dreams and goals for myself. And it was really cool to be able to accomplish a lot of those in that next year.
Now, did they ever explain to you exactly why the first stress reaction wouldn't heal all the way?
Yeah. So it's not a common injury in runners. I think, so it's called a Jones fracture. I think it's a common injury with basketball players.
Yeah. I was a college basketball player. Like, I've definitely heard of that injury when you put it that way.
Yeah. Cause like when you land on it weird, you can just like crack it all the way through. But mine was just like from stress over time on it. It's actually a really dumb story how that even happened, but basically I got a blister on the inside of my foot. So I started running on the outside of my foot.
the domino effects. That's crazy.
Yeah. But so they said it was having a really hard time healing because that's pretty common for that area of your body to have really poor blood flow. So it wasn't uncommon that it was taking a really long time to heal. But mine was just like basically never going to heal. And they said it was like as good as it was going to get.
And obviously that must have been incredibly frustrating. Like, you are a professional track athlete. So the fact that you missed indoor track, you missed outdoor track, this is junior year of college, right? Like, at that point, maybe you didn't even have your eyes set on like, I'm going to run after college. Like, I'm going to be a pro. I'm going to be, you know, competing to try to go to the Olympics and be right there with some of the best people in the world. Like, this was a very different time of your life. So all of a sudden you're on the, you know, like you said, like 6 months not running. And now you're like coming back, but it's like so fragile that you heard it jumping into a pool. When you had that moment where you broke it diving into a pool and it cracks all the way. Were you automatically on the optimistic side of this, or were you like, just throw up your hands like, it's over? This is just never going to happen.
I was a mess. I was a complete disaster. The only good thing that was like about that like situation at all was that it happened right after school ended. So I was able to get the foot surgery maybe like 2 weeks later. And then I had the entire summer to do like all my rehab and all that. And obviously I couldn't do much for like 4 to 6 weeks or something like that, because it's like still all like, you know, open and, you know, I could get infected. But then I was able to get in the pool and swim. I came back in terrible, terrible shape in the fall. But my coach like worked me pretty hard and carefully, because he knew. But honestly, like, I always look back and say that I thought my foot injury was the worst thing that ever happened to me, and it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, first of all, now like nothing's ever going to happen to his foot again, because I have a metal screw in it. So it's like, I say it's my bionic foot. So it went through a lot, but now like I know it's never going to happen again. So yeah, I mean, it was pretty terrible at the time, but like, kind of like you said, like, I had never even envisioned myself. I had envisioned myself running professionally at the Olympics, all that. But, you know, I never thought it was like very realistic. I was always just like, yeah, I hope I go to the Olympics one day. Ha ha. Like, and then all of a sudden after my senior year, you know, I still wasn't really even thinking like that yet, but I was sort of getting some interest from some of the pro groups, mostly Atlanta Track Club, which is where I ended up. But and so then I was like, huh, like maybe this is something I could do in the future. And then going into my fifth year, I ran even faster than that. And so things have really like just escalated ever since that injury.
So what about that recovery, either mentally, physically, emotionally, some combination of all three, led you to reach heights that you hadn't reached prior to the injury? It's such a fascinating development.
So I think it was just, I think I had always taken this sport and like my abilities in this sport for granted. I was never making all the right choices, and I always thought I was making the right choices. And, you know, I would get talked to by my coaches and I'd be like, no, like I am doing everything right. And looking back, I'm like, oh my God, like, I was so not focused, like so not committed. And, you know, it almost makes me sad, but it's like, it is like after that injury, I realized like it just opened my eyes, like how much more I could be putting into it and how much more I could be focusing on the little things like sleep, eating, hydrating, like, you know, the things that I had never really put much focus on. I just thought, you know, showing up to practice every day, working my hardest was good enough. And that's all it took. And that was far from the truth. So I feel like that's really what I started to focus on coming back, because it was almost like I was so far down and so far behind that I was like, am I ever even going to come back from this? And so I worked like that much harder, because I really wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to come back and even run anywhere close to the times I had been running before this injury.
Now, what specifically were some of the things that you wanted to change, and whether it was like changing them during the rehab process, because just you couldn't control a lot during that process from a physical standpoint, at least the way you were able to before, or maybe when you finally, you know, came out of surgery? What specifically were some of the things that you identified, like, these are the shortcomings that I can improve on, and that will really help me get to the level that I'm dreaming about?
So it really had nothing to do with my training whatsoever. Like, I have always, sports have always been a huge part of my life, and I've always like been so devoted to them. I've always worked so hard at practice and given it my all in all my races and whatnot, all my games and other sports and stuff like that. And it really did just come down to, like, you know, I was in college, and at the time I liked to have fun, and I was still able to have fun. And it turned out when I was running super fast and qualifying for regionals, nationals, going to Eugene and running at Hayward, like, that's what the fun stuff was. And my coach had kind of like opened my eyes to that. So I think I just was able to find a better balance for myself. I think I looked forward too much to like being able to go out with my teammates and stuff like that. And then That's like what I thought about, not like my races. And I thought, I don't know, it's almost embarrassing to talk about, but it's like, that's honestly the truth. That's like what I wanted to do. I was just young and, you know, very naive. And I just, yeah. So I think I just kind of grew up a little bit in that year and realized what really was important to me. And so I just changed a lot of what my lifestyle had been.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I thought you nailed it, right? You're like, all right, what is important to me, right? Because there's some people who would have that setback and they're like, you know what? I don't love running. Like this is a blessing because I'm realizing that my life is more textured without this thing, right? So like I've been doing this. I've been like, maybe some people are just on autopilot. Like they continue with a habit or a hobby or a sport because they just have done it in the past. And then all of a sudden it gets taken away and they're like, wow, feel like this weight is off my shoulders, and then they go pursue something else. For you, you had this very the exact opposite experience, which, like you said, maybe you wouldn't have gotten to it if it hadn't been taken away.
Exactly. And I think that in most instances with injuries like this that take you out for, you know, at that point it was almost a year I had been like kind of out of commission, and that's like a long time to really have to stick to it and really stay focused and want something. But so most people, I feel like, do they go through something like that and then they're like, you know, they're just kind of done, and that's fine too. But that was like the opposite of what happened to me. I was just like, I wanted it so bad. And I feel like it helped. I honestly think about this a lot, that when I was the end of my junior year cross country season, right before all this happened, I had told you I was in the best shape of my life. My coaches were so excited for what was about to happen with my track seasons. And I saw this like glimpse of light of kind of who I could be. And like, I saw like the end of the tunnel, like how fast I could run. Cause I felt different. I felt like I can't even explain it. And if I didn't see that like glimpse right before all this happened, I honestly don't know what would have happened. I might have given up, but I like saw it, and I was so close to attaining something that I had never attained before, that it's like all I thought about in that year where I was like struggling. So I feel like that helped me a lot.
That's a great point. Thank you for mentioning that, right? Because like glimpsing like that, like the, you're like walking through the Sahara Desert, right? And you see like, is that spring water over there? And it's like, maybe night comes, you can't see it anymore, but then you keep moving because you feel like you got that glimpse of it, of what the future could be. Allie, this is really exciting because so many people who listen to this show, you know, get beset by injuries, and it really knocks them off kilter. And obviously, even if you can cross train, oftentimes the momentum is killed or crushed and you want to get back to it. And here you are, not only getting back to where you were, which is obviously at a high level, you were an elite college runner, but look at you now, man, you're on a totally different level. And it's so exciting to see, and you're still improving. So obviously the lessons that you learned from that experience are still with you.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. They really are. And I feel like, you know, I go through little injuries here and there, even since being here in Atlanta. And I go through all, like, anybody who has an injury knows it's like a roller coaster. It's like, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know how long it's going to take. Your emotions are all over the place. And I still get so upset when I am injured, obviously. But I always try to remind myself, like, but this could be a blessing in disguise. You know, it's happened before. It could happen again. Maybe my body needs the rest. Maybe my body needs whatever I'm doing now to recover and rehab like this thing. And maybe it would have been worse if I had been able to keep running. I don't know. So I always try to like look at injuries with a different perspective. They're never going to be easy, but it's like there's always a reason why injuries happen in the first place, unless it's like, you know, some sort of freak accident, but
like jumping into a pool, yeah, which is supposed to be cross training for your broken foot, and then that breaks it. Because that's the thing, is that I would like just to like bring it all back, I'll bring it all full circle. Is that like if you didn't break your foot in the pool, then you might have been dealing with like a lingering injury for years, and it might have completely stopped you from reaching your potential. So it's like that second injury, again, was the blessing in disguise, right? Because there's no way you would have jumped in the pool, been like, hooray, I broke my foot jumping into a pool. But it seemed like that really changed the course of everything.
Oh, it truly did. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, at the time it was like the worst moment of my life. I was like, everything's done. I can just give up on my dreams now. But then, honestly, In hindsight, I wish I would have just gotten the surgery in the first place. But, you know, I still wouldn't change a thing because I think that I needed all those months to really figure myself out and figure out what I truly wanted. So, yeah, like you said, I think it really was like a necessary thing to happen for me to be where I am today.
Allie, this is great. It's so instructive for all of us to just to you know, on how to approach these injuries and to look on the positive side, because you never know what can come later. Thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right, Sabrina Little, welcome to Fail Forward Friday.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you. You're someone who I have followed for a long time. And we actually had you on a show for like kind of the normal feature story that we like to do here on the show. That was so much fun and really enjoyable. And you're actually recently on Mario Fraioli's podcast, the Morning Shakeout podcast, which is also really, really good. So first of all, thank you for sharing your story with so many people over an extended period of time. With that said, let's dive into the setback and kind of the failure, in quotes, that came to your mind when we first started talking about this topic.
Oh my goodness. Well, when you first asked me what failure I had learned from and gone forward, it took me a while to pick something because I fail, you know, on a daily basis in both of my fields, in academics and in running. And so it's really just like what failure in particular I wanted to talk about. And I actually sent you a couple of them because I've learned from failures. So I guess so the one that I wanted to talk about was just sort of an ongoing saga that I had with a race. It's in upstate New York. It's called Cayuga 50 Miler. And it was the U.S. National Championship for a number of years. And even before I ever went to this race, it was one that I had my eye on just because Cayuga is a really special place to me and my family. Like, my dad lives there, and my dog's name Cayuga. And so I just had looked at this race for so long, and I just set my heart on wanting to do really well there. So in 2016, I finally was able to make it happen. I didn't have like comprehensive exams or something else in the summer getting in the way. And so I was like, this is it. This is the year I'm going to go and I'm going to do this race. And it's so important to me. And I just hammered and I hammered and hammered in training. And I mean, part of it had to do with the fact that I was living in Waco, Texas. It's pretty flat there, and Cayuga 50 is like this race that has a lot of climbing. It's waterfalls. It's just throws everything at you, running through rivers, you know, not a lot of those in my area of Texas. So I worked really hard, and I got to the starting line, and I had just like destroyed my race in training. And so I had a terrible day. It was really hard. And I just felt kind of like garbage right from the gun. So it was just like a really sad situation. And so it was a failure, and it was a failure that didn't happen. Like, it's not like the way that I raced that day was bad, but I had slowly failed myself over a period of time in training in irresponsible ways to get there. And so,
Let me dive in there. So before we go to the end, before we wrap it in a bow, you are an accomplished trail and ultra runner, all right? And you got into this sport. And to people who want to get the full download, again, there's a couple different podcasts you can listen to get the full Sabrina Little experience. But quick synopsis, you started pretty early compared to me, some of your peers in trail and ultra running. So where did this race fall in terms of your experience preparing for similar type races? Like, was this a fairly new experience, or had you kind of been around the block a couple times leading into this buildup?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I've been around the block a couple of times. I mean, I had, I think, 3 national championships in the 100-mile trail. I had done a lot of 50 milers. I had done a lot of like longer races, like 24-hour runs. And so it's not like I was doing something unprecedented. It's just that I was putting extra pressure on myself that I guess wasn't warranted and didn't serve to, I guess, support the end that I had in mind.
So what about this race in particular, like, kind of amped up that feeling in training that maybe hadn't been there for races that were, you know, equally prestigious, or races that you were also, you know, had been planning for quite some time?
Yeah, I guess, well, because I had that personal connection to the race, I just thought about it too much. I don't really know what it was, but I guess I just like thought about it too much. I dreamed about it. I focused too much on the specific event and training. And I guess I made my, like training period too long leading into it. So I guess, I mean, some people do really well with, like extreme focus on a particular event, but I guess you have to know yourself. And that's not something that served me really well because it crowds out the fun. And running for me is like the space it occupies in my life is fun. And it wasn't fun the way that I was approaching it.
Oh man. All right. That's a great way of putting it. All right. So keep telling us the story. This is going to people listening to this now, this is going to be the first fail feature, Fail Forward Friday, that we have in terms of it being put out there and being published. You're going to hear me do this a lot. I'm going to jump in and then I'm going to say, okay, now pick up the story, keep going. So with that being said, Sabrina, all right. So the first one did not go the way you had planned. Was that it? Or what happens next?
No, that was not it. So the second year was 2017 and I decided to go back. So the first year I went there and okay, like frankly, so I got second place, but the way that I ran the race, like I incredibly underperformed to the standards that I had. And so the next year I was like, okay, this year I'm going to get it and I'm going to make it a good race. And I did exactly the same thing in training. So if I look back at my log, like I went way too long focused. I did too many long runs. I did too much lifting. I just did too much because at this time, you know, like it gotten under my skin. And so I did exactly the same mistake. And I showed up to the start line and I was completely dead again. Even to the extent where like the day before I was like, am I getting sick? I mean, because I had like a little bit of like lingering cold because I had just hammered myself into the ground. So strike two, I did it again. The race was really hard. It was a suffer fest right from the gun and I underperformed.
Oh my gosh, was it that you didn't learn your lesson the first time or did you think that you had evolved as an athlete and that you could take on the training that had kind of bit you the year before? Or did you just have like training amnesia and you kind of forgot?
Yeah, I guess it's really easy to explain it away, you know, like if you make a mistake one time, it's easy to explain it away. And I've been in like periods of time where I've thought like, oh, it must be that I'm out of shape or something when actually the opposite is true. Like you're actually on the other side of out of shape. And so I guess it just took 2 years to, you know, see clearly the fact that I had pushed it in the other direction and erred on the side of doing too much work to my detriment.
So that's it. You called it quits. No more Cayuga 50 after that, right?
No, I came back. So 2018, I returned. And this time, I had a lot of things going on that summer. And so I wasn't actually sure I was going to get to go to the race. And so 2 weeks before the event, I realized that I had an opening in my schedule. And so I got a flight and I went to the event. And because I didn't have like this long training block, I didn't have this singularity of focus that kind of crowded out all things. And I wasn't able to like make my own life a struggle on the way. I was so busy, like, I don't know, getting my flight and figuring out last minute details and figuring out like my hydration and things that by the time I got to the starting line, like I hadn't already lived the race a bunch of times over. I wasn't tired. I wasn't like putting stress on it. And I just had the best day. Like everything clicked together. I had such a fun day. I like remember just like looking around and enjoying the course for the first time, like instead of digesting it and being like, I prepared for this hill. It was just like, yeah, like we're back, we're enjoying it. And I got the course record. So like among all of the races that I've done, this is one of the most like special experiences. And it was probably special because I had to fail twice. I had to in order to make it happen.
And I love that we were talking about this because we're talking about, you know, like you may have had like a good race result, right? Someone looked you up on Ultra Sign Up. Be like, hey, look, she got second in that first one, right? And I mean, it's not like you're hiding it. You just told us this as well. But how you present it is like, no, like we all try to live up to what we think we're capable of on that day and what we train for and what we think we're, you know, all this stuff when it comes together and we think what we can do on race day. And it's so exciting to hear like, all right, this is how it happened for you, because it can be so antithetical to how people think they have to prepare. Obviously with you, you talk about the fact that you have like these lifetime miles, right? Like it wasn't like you're doing a couch to 50 type thing, right? You can kind of, you know, rely on the fitness that you've had over a number of years. With that said, how would you compare, just generally speaking, I'm sure you don't have the numbers in front of you, but generally speaking, how would you compare like the mileage in the first two versus the mileage in the last one, which was much more just like your traditional normal mileage, nothing centered around a big buildup?
Yeah. So in the first two cases, I think I got into the 110s and 120s, which is really kind of pushing it for me. I like erring on the side of doing too much. And in the third case, like, honestly, I was coming off of a beach vacation and much more mild, kind of like enjoyable miles. And so I would say, I don't know. Oftentimes we think, especially like in ultra running, we think that more is always better, but more is not always better. Like it's better to be just even the slightest bit undercooked than to be overcooked the littlest bit, just because, I don't know, the event itself is something that you have to like show up fresh to. This is a lesson that I've learned probably again and again throughout my running. And it's probably better in my life when I have a lot of things going on, so I can't, you know, err to my detriment. But yeah, so it took two tries at Cayuga 50. And I wish I could say that the third time was like when I really figured it out, but it was just the circumstances of my life that figured it out for me and pressed me to actually get it right.
And have you been able to take that lesson and move it forward? I mean, you're a busy person, right? You're a college professor. You're a mom to a little one. You got a lot of stuff going on. You write for I Run Far. You're putting out academic work as well. And here you are. You're also putting in, you know, 80 to 100 mile weeks pretty regularly. So are you able to take that lesson and apply it to what's been going on in later races?
Yeah, I guess so. In terms of applying it, I've like since that time, I've done a better job of just keeping my peak shorter. So I don't go as high for as long. So if I hit over 100 miles, I'm not going to stay there for more than a couple of weeks, because I know that for myself, that's not what I need. But then also, I guess just kind of realizing this about myself, that I'm going to err on the side of doing too much, is, it's just kind of made me grateful for being busy and not looking at all of the circumstances of my life and thinking it's like such a sad thing that I like have these responsibilities and I have to, you know, do my job and like care for my family. Now I'm like grateful that I have those balances, because I mean, one, it's a rich life where I have a lot of buckets and I have a lot of, you know, people who love me and opportunities to love them in different ways. But then also, like, it's good for my running. It's good for my running not to have that singularity of focus.
That's a great point, because there are so many, if not the vast majority, of trail and ultra runners who are even at the elite top level, who have other things going on, who have other jobs, right? Who are not just simply, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but who are just merely running, right? There are many other things going on in their life that, you're right, it does provide some constraints as to what they can actually fit into a day and what they need to recover from to do these other things.
Yeah. So say thank you to those things. Thank you for keeping you in your place. Wait, can I say something Aristotelian?
Please do.
Okay. So Aristotle talks about how we're all warped boards, right? So if you think about a piece of wood, typically a piece of wood is not like straight up and down. It's usually warped in one direction or another. And he talks about character in these ways. And so it might be the case that like, some people are warped in the direction where they're inclined to do too much work, right? And then other people are inclined to do not enough work. And so when you think about how to improve your character in this respect, you need to pull the board back in the other directions. You need to err on the side, that opposes your natural tendency. And so if you're a person who is inclined toward laziness or just like not putting in necessary work, then you might want to...
I'm raising my hand for people who can't see.
Then me saying something like, oh, you need to like just let it go and be more low-key with your training is probably not the right response. But if you are someone with a bent like I have, which is to tend to put in too much work or to be too serious or to hold things too tightly, then pulling back in the other direction of like the kind of overcorrection toward virtue, which is the mean, would be like be a little more lax. And so some of this like correcting for your failures is your failings, your natural dispositions is knowing what your dispositions are and knowing what you should be. So in my case, I need to like embrace things that take me away from seriousness, like things that bring levity, things that make me less serious about training because they're going to make my training better. But I don't want to say that's the same for everybody because some people like really do need to put in the training. So know thyself.
There you go. Look at the philosophy professor coming out in full force. I love it. The other thing that we can take from this potentially is the spontaneity of the third race. Right. So like part of the reason you weren't able to do a buildup was you didn't even know you were doing it. So did signing up for races more spontaneously, did that become sort of not necessarily a feature of your life moving forward, but something that you were more open to moving forward?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And I mean, it sort of takes me back to how I started in the sport. Like everything was just kind of fun. And I didn't even know the kind of training that was required. And so I would just like find these races and it was an adventure. It was just, you know, it was fun. It was just jumping into a new experience. And I didn't like study the maps. I didn't like overthink, you know, the kind of training that was required for those events. And so it kind of took me back to that sort of spirit of the sport. And that's what had gotten me in the first place. So, yeah, I mean, over the past couple of years, I mean, well, COVID smashed everything, but like, I've been more inclined to like, just find local races, and find local ultras or try to jump in races as I can, just because it preserves the spirit of the sport and it preserves the fun.
That is awesome. Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the show and diving into this. I feel like this is so instructive to so many people, right? Especially right now, so many people who are listening to this are going through their marathon season. And for a lot of them, the die has already been cast on how this may or may not go for them. And obviously, we wish everybody the best. But moving forward, playing for some of these things, it really is a great way to learn. I'm like, as you're talking, I'm like trying to think about my race schedule. Like, yeah, maybe I should do this one instead, or maybe I should take this one out and I'll do something different because it really is. It does show that I don't need to explain it anymore. You already explained it. It's just really, it's really interesting. And I appreciate you explaining all of it. Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Allie and Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the first edition of Fail Forward Friday. This has been absolutely fantastic. If you listen to this and think, hey, I have a good story for that show, please reach out to me, ramblingrunnerpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I am so excited about this. So thank you so much for listening and happy running. This has been a production of Rambling Runner Podcast. This podcast is produced by David Margetti of In Post Media. Thank you to Meta P for the music. His song, Righteous Path, featuring Rex Mayhem and Chip Fu, is produced by Symphonic Bang.
Yeah. Enterprising in my surroundings, I'm finding the quietest estates these days. Just representation of storm brewing, amazed that the focus remains the vocal focal point of my change. I'm trying to show this industry.